You're listening to the Farmyard Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Farmyard. It's a movement, have you heard? And our Patreon supporters. Episode 7, Miraculous Mycelia, with host Linda Borgi and guest Matthew Legatsky.
Hi, how are you? Linda Borgi here from Farmyard. It's a movement, have you heard? Well, I'm sure you've been hearing because we've got quite a few episodes either in the can or published already. But today's guest is really an interesting young man. He really had me, really enamored with the amount of knowledge that he has. And he's so young, he's only 23 years old. And he is going to share with us the miracles of mycelia. Yes, he is. And before we do that, before I bring him on, I do want to give you a little bit of a briefing on my relationship with the mushroom. So when I was up in Walker Valley Urban Farming, I watched a lot of TED Talks. And if you're not familiar with a TED Talk, what that is 18 minutes to talk to the world, and you talk on whatever subject it is that you are in, an expert in. So there was this title that went by, and it said, 6 ways that mushrooms can help save the world. And boy, you know, I would love to know 6 ways mushrooms could save the world. So I naturally watched it. And in that 18 minutes, Paul Stamets convinced me that mushrooms could save the world. So I went out and did a workshop, and people came. I live in an immature oak forest. So what we did in the workshop was we inoculated oak logs, right, with the spores of the shiitake mycelia. Well, I have to tell you that I cannot express to you the awe and the gratefulness and the elated condition I had when I walked down there and my logs had started to fruit. Now, it does take some time, but everything, you know, good is worth waiting for. And there it was, shiitakes growing off of this log. And I knew because of Paul Stamets that there was a very strong possibility that those logs would fruit for the next 12 years. Medicine and food and, oh wow. I mean, really, come on. So then go forward in time a little bit. And a friend of mine calls me and says, would you like to have lunch today with Paul Stamets? I said, what? Say what? I said, you know, I would. So up to Ellaville, New York, I went, and there he was. And we had lunch. There were 4 of us. And I hopped in my friend's car afterwards, and he looked at me and he said, I didn't think there would ever be a situation that I would see you not saying a word. This man is brilliant. I would love to spend 30 seconds in his brain. And like Paul Stamets, here we go. We have Matthew, the mushroom guy from Fayetteville, North Carolina, as our guest today. And as I do with all our podcasts, I will begin by reading this young man's biography. Here I go. Hello, everyone. My name is Matthew Legatsky. I'm 23 years old, and I live in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I've been studying mycology for about a year now, and I am so excited to share what I've learned. Growing gourmet mushrooms has brought so much happiness, community, and abundance into my life, more than I have ever imagined. I hope that sharing this knowledge and my experience will encourage you to go on your own mushroom adventure. I can't wait to see what the future will bring. So are you there, Matthew?
Yeah, here I am, Linda.
Hey, honey, how are you?
I'm doing so well. How are you today?
I am great. And Matthew is in his car.
Yes, I am.
He is in his car in the shade. On his lunch break, Matthew's family is a third generation business, and it's a large business. Well, it's a business that requires a warehouse space. So this is the type of business that Matthew was kind of raised in. So if you could just let us know, Matthew, because of that, you know, and how, first of all, how did you come upon mushrooms to begin with?
Well, I've always been very interested in biology and studying biology and cultivating things and just taking care of organisms and watching things develop. I knew when I found the mushrooms finally that that was what I had been looking for. But so through my childhood, I had fish tanks and I had saltwater fish tanks and I bred fish and I grew plants and things like that. But I went to Asheville a year ago. I was in Asheville visiting some family, and I stumbled upon this little tiny building, has beautiful artwork all over it, and it's Asheville Fungi, which is a little mycology operation. And I knew when I saw the mushrooms fruiting out of the bag, it's really, really hard to convey how that feels, but it's an amazing feeling to witness something so delicate and mysterious and beautiful. And I was hooked. I knew immediately that I was going to figure this out. I saw, I looked at his operation and I talked to the man for a while, and I knew that I was going to do anything it would take to figure out how to do that. But the bit, so you mentioned the business a little bit. I do electrocoat paint, which is the process by which most large metal frames and things like that are painted, electrical boxes and car frames and airplane wings and things like that. And as a part of my daily life, I weld. And I'm very involved in manufacturing, making things, design. I just knew that I could do it. I looked at what he was doing, and I said, "Hey, I think that I have the skills and the resources to make this happen."
So you started down this path a year ago, is that correct?
About a year ago, yeah, I encountered it at the beginning of summer of last year. I had been aware of it and thought it was an interesting idea, but I seeing somebody else really doing it and seeing his equipment and what it would take, yeah, I started running from there. As soon as I saw it, every day I have been working towards what I now have. Yeah.
And what do you have now? Now, this is a year later.
So I started. Would you like me to tell you just a brief history?
Yes, go right from the beginning.
I see this man's operation. And I decide that I definitely am going to do this. I'm going to try, and so I go back home to Fayetteville, and I took time off of work, and I used a single car garage to start. And so I got my first setup was a flower house greenhouse, is a 9x6 or 9x7, and I turned that into a lab. There's actually will be a picture of that. I sent you a picture of that, and I took a pond liner, which is a very durable rubber mat, and I put it underneath the flower house, and then I taped it all down, right, so that it's all very nicely sealed.
Yeah.
And then I put a fresh air intake, a filtered air intake, to inflate this flower house,
Yeah.
and that worked great. I started by bleaching out the garage very well, and then yeah, I enclosed little laboratory space, and I got a small fridge and a bunch of wire shelving. And hundreds of mason jars. I have so many mason jars. Listeners will be able to see in the pictures that particular experiment. I'm very happy to share that because that's doable. I mean, that's everybody, I think, if they had the desire to, they definitely could pull that together, and they could make it happen. So that's where it started, was in my single car garage in my apartment, and I was doing the pasteurize. If you know about mycology, that you have to run a some sort of sterilizer, a canner, like a pressure canner, pressure cooker. So I would open the door and I would run all of those, and then I would take all the substrate in there, and I would do inoculations, and I learned how to do tissue culture. And that was an amazing experience. I remember there was a point during in the project where I knew that it would work. And it was the most joy I've ever felt, doing something with cultivation. And I knew at that moment that I was going to do it for my whole life. I mean, I really fell in love with it from that particular experience. Just doing it myself and seeing the whole thing through by myself. It really deepened my appreciation for it a lot. So I did that. I learned how to do tissue culture. I learned how to make spawn, which is that's the basic thing you're trying to do. You're trying to make spawn so that you can put it onto a bulk substrate. So I learned how to do that, and I decided that I wanted to do more. I wanted it to grow. So I took a Connex, which is a shipping container, for on the back of an 18-wheeler, and I pulled all the wood. I pulled all the material that I could off of the walls, all the wood and, you know, things that can biodegrade and cause mold, you know? Mm-hmm. So I pulled all that out. I scrubbed the whole thing out and, I lined the whole thing with plastic sheeting.
Mm-hmm.
I insulated it first, then I lined it with plastic sheeting, and then I put the pond liner again. I got a 40-foot long pond liner, and I lined the whole bottom of it with that and taped it together very carefully, and I turned it into a laboratory, into a spawn laboratory that works quite well. It works very well. And that is currently what I have. That's for producing the spawn and for doing tissue culture. And then for fruiting it, I have that greenhouse that I started out doing everything in is now the fruiting chamber. And on the fruiting chamber, it has just a fresh air intake, a fan that is hooked into a duct that's constantly brings in fresh air. And it also has an ultrasonic humidifier, a very large commercial sized unit that keeps it at 100% humidity all the time is the goal.
What was the initial cost involved in your initial setup in the garage?
I was so excited about this that I kind of bought everything at once. I invested in a much larger kit than you would need to start out.
Okay.
So I bought all this stuff at once. But so if you just wanted to have the greenhouse in the garage, mm-hmm. you would need to get an All-American 441 pressure cooker, which is about $250.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would need to get a greenhouse, which would be a further maybe $150. And then you would need to get the pond liner, would be $100. And then miscellaneous things. I would say that you'd probably would need to invest about $2,000.
So for a $2,000 investment, you could start up a mushroom operation.
I want to have a very nice setup because I plan to spend, I spend a lot of time in it, you know, so there's other considerations for me. Like I want everything to be perfect basically. Right. So
right.
I'm willing to invest a little bit more, but the absolute beauty of mycology is that you could do, if you were very good at it and very meticulous, you could have the same output out of your closet. So, you know,
right. Yeah.
All that you really need is a space that you can make sterile as you possibly can. So, you know, you could plastic off a small portion of your garage just with a screen, just a sheet of plastic, right?
Yeah.
And then run some HEPA filters in there and then get maybe a stainless steel table mm-hmm. and some mason jars. You are only limited. The only thing you need is that pressure cooker and some mason jars. That's really all that you really need.
Mm-hmm.
And a glove box. So that is what I would encourage.
What is a glove box?
A glove box is for handling things in a sterile environment.
Yes. Or,
it is a closed box. So imagine like a Rubbermaid tote,
yeah.
and then imagine two gloves sticking into the tote, so you can handle something without touching it.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You can make one of those very cheaply. If you just, you could go to Lowe's, you could put the whole thing together at Lowe's for probably $40.
And Matthew's going to send us some diagrams, and he's also going to send us a slideshow of his operation in the garage, right, Matthew, from beginning to end?
That the slideshow documents it from beginning to end. So it shows me making, if you want to grow mushrooms, you order a liquid culture in the mail,
right?
And so this slideshow, it goes from the syringe of liquid culture that I get in the mail to a sterile culture in a jar, and then I blend up that culture and I distribute it into I can't remember, 20 or 30 gallon bags full of rye grain. And at that point, that's the beauty of mycology, is that you can go from a very, very small amount of a liquid culture to pretty much as you want. I mean, it has no limit, really, how much you can expand it. You could take one quart jar and you could do 40 gallon bags of rye, and then you could put that on to like 2 tons of hay.
Wow.
And then you get a quarter of the yield back. So you get a quarter of the dry weight of your substrate back. So if you put in 10 pounds of straw, or excuse me, 40 pounds of straw, which is about a bale. A bale is usually 40 pounds. You'll get about 10 pounds of mushrooms off of a bale of straw.
Okay.
And in order to inoculate that straw with the right ratio, mm-hmm. you would put about a gallon of colonized rye grain. So it's very economical. A bale of straw is what, like $7.50?
Yep.
And then the gallon bag, the special bag is about $1.50. And then the rye grain is probably about $3. And then the liquid culture is just your work.
Right.
It is very economical.
You're going to get how much in dry weight?
If everything goes very well, off of a 40-pound bale of hay, you will get about 10 pounds of mushrooms or more.
And what are, now let's go over some of the categories of mushrooms that you're growing currently.
I have grown a few different varieties of oyster mushrooms. The mushrooms that are in that will be in that slideshow are blue and pearl oyster mushrooms.
Okay.
And that is what I've focused on cultivating just because they are so vigorous. They grow very, very, very quickly and they have a very good yield. Yes. I'm interested in growing all sorts of kinds. I've done tissue culture of morel mushrooms, of black morel mushrooms.
Oh.
That's top secret. I'm not sure I can say too much about it, but
Oh.
I'm studying ways of growing many different kinds of mushrooms, yes.
So now you sell your mushrooms on the open market, correct?
I did. That's what I did with them. Yeah, that's what when I got a big yield, I did go and try to sell them just to explore that option. Yeah.
And how did that work for you?
I work well. If you go to the Asian store, they bought me out, so I actually didn't get to go to different Asian
Isn't that
stores.
something? Isn't that something?
Yeah, I went to Sun Market, which is in Fayetteville here, and they were thrilled. They were very, very delighted. They bought them in bulk, with no questions asked, and they just gave me cash.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question. So, would you say that there was a good rate of return?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they each I sold them 20 pounds once, and then I sold them 20 pounds again, and then I sold them 40 pounds. And I definitely made money on that. Yeah, it was a very minimal investment, actually. Mostly just my time. Yeah.
So,
So it's 100, 120, 240, and then the 40, what was 40 pounds, another 240, you know? So that's $480.
on how many bales?
That was as much. I did, let me see here. I was not keeping track of that. I was just
Okay.
doing as much as I could do.
But would you think that this is a good business model?
If you're good at it, yes. That see, the thing is, if you don't manage it properly, it actually is kind of a nightmare because it's all a material handling problem. You know, you're trying to keep things sterile, right? But you're dealing with straw, which is incredibly contaminated with mold and stuff, right? The learning curve on mycology is pretty steep. But yes, it definitely is. It's definitely a good business, and I'm definitely am going to pursue it as a business. Yeah.
Well, mycology, period. We don't have a lot of people growing mushrooms, and probably because the learning curve is steep. But so is anything in life. I mean, if you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an Indian chief, if you want to do it well, you really have to learn, and you really have to know what you're doing. So you know what? I would love to have you on again, so we could see where you're
Well,
at.
absolutely,
What's
yeah.
your next milestone? What's your next milestone?
What I'm able to share with you now was just a test of all of the equipment. I got all this equipment, I learned how to do it, and then I proceeded to, try and grow as much as I could, and then I went and saw what the market looked like. It worked out very well, but there are some things, if you have all the infrastructure in place, this can be very easy. So that the stage that I'm at right now is I'm building different devices, different things that will make this a lot easier. Just if you ever go into this, for anyone listening, you will find out what I'm talking about. My next goal is to have this take up a manageable portion of time during the week. So I would do it maybe 3 days a week. I would do it, spend time on it Monday, Friday, and maybe Sunday or something like that, and go for as high of a volume as I possibly can. That's really my only goal. I mean, the only thing that holds me back is that I'm becoming more involved at this business that I've mentioned.
I see.
Balancing that as well. But no, my goal is to build a community around this, really. It's nice that you can sell them. It's great, that you can make some money. But my favorite thing by far is the way people's face, their faces just light up. People who love mushrooms really, really love them. I've met so many just from growing these mushrooms. I never would have thought.
You know what would be interesting? What would be really interesting, and we could schedule this, is one day when you're in your laboratory, right? see if we could get a wireless signal, and you could do a Facebook Live right on the Farmyard page.
I'm very interested in doing that. I have to give credit to a gentleman on YouTube who goes by Mush Farmer, M-U-S-H Farmer, and also that's his handle, whatever you call it, his username on YouTube.
Yeah.
And his video series is called Mushroom Adventures. And that is like a college course on mycology. He wears a GoPro camera, mm-hmm. and just does mycology. And he is doing it he's an entrepreneur doing it for profit for himself. And he runs it just him. And he's doing mostly king oyster mushrooms. Mm-hmm. And he has some truly gigantic mushrooms, gigantic specimens. And he's selling them to restaurants, I'm just trying to template what he was doing. There's a number of guys that are doing the sort of GoPro camera style, a day in the life sort of thing. And I'm very, very into that. See, because he started to do that when he was well advanced into mycology, and I'm just getting started, you know, so how interesting would that be to really be able to see it progress?
I think it would be great. I think it would be awesome. And what we could do is I could give you the permissions that you would be able to go live on Facebook right from the Farmyard page.
Oh, well, that would be excellent, Linda.
Wouldn't that be great? And you could do it right from your phone. You could do it from your phone.
Yeah. That would be perfect.
You could show them around and, you know, you could show them around and show them what you're up to. That would really be great. And that's that's a very new part of the Facebook app. Brand new.
I've heard. Yeah, they're making it really, it's just a completely open publishing.
I have over 50 Facebook Lives. We have to get connected on Facebook because... Just before I got on the podcast with you, I did a Facebook Live on you, telling everybody, you know, I'm getting ready to podcast with you, told them a little bit about you and blah, 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 blah.
I have been wondering how I would get into doing that. Yeah, but thank you very much for the invitation. I'm doing a sufficient amount of work. To where I would love to share every second of what I do with people. That would be ideal, and let them learn from that. And that's all. Yeah, that's all I need is just a way to make that happen. Really.
Well, you've got the way. That's what Farmyard's all about: getting all the information together, right, in one place, so that everyone could go to success right from the get-go.
Exactly. Yeah, and I have made many mistakes, of course, you know, as does happen when you mm-hmm. go into something new.
Yeah.
I really wish that somebody would have been able to show me with their experiences. Yeah. So I'd be very happy to do that.
Well, consider yourself a part of the Farmyard team, my dear.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, sweetie. Well, I think we're good for today. This is to be continued. But I thank you so much for your time sitting in your car in the shade. Aren't you sweet?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I really, really appreciate it.
You're welcome, honey. And we are really going to look forward to some of those videos.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, honey. You take care. And until we talk again, go farm your yard.
Please check the links in the show notes for special materials mentioned in the episode. Next on the Farmyard podcast, Linda Borgie gives a rant on grass. This podcast is community supported. We thank everyone for tuning in, and a special thank you goes out to all our Patreon supporters. If you enjoy our content, please subscribe and share. You can help support us through Farmyard, all one word, on patreon.com.